Welcome to another edition of Stokes and Folks. This is the edition where I announce that I am taking myself out of the running for a member of the Quorum of the Twelve. This is here in Utah, we call this conference weekend, which doesn't have the same meaning when it's, you know, aren't people all downtown blocking the intersections and walking across the street when they're not supposed to walk. And but I am like a lot of congressional candidates and like a lot of senatorial candidates who, you know, never were in the running, but like to announce that they're not going to run. I'm just going ahead and taking myself out of the running.
Yeah.
Today we're joined by Crystal Young Otterstrom, who is the, what's your official title?
Executive Director.
Executive Director of the Utah Cultural Alliance. And, you know, we have another important date that's coming up very, very quickly. April 10th, the official end of the coronavirus.
Except my industry is not exempt as per state statute.
Exactly. As designated by the Utah State Legislature. And as the governor said, Spencer Cox, it will be their fault if there is a spike. So we're just going to celebrate April 10th as the end, official end of the coronavirus. But what that does mean is that live performance will start looking more normal as we get more and more people vaccinated. And I think, Crystal, you mentioned that you're half vaxxed right now.
I am.
And I'm fully vaxxed.
I am half full of the dolly.
Yeah.
So I might break out in a dolline any minute.
Yeah,
sorry.
There you go. I have no idea what any of that just meant. But another
Dolly Parton invested in the Moderna vaccine.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Did you? And yours was not Pfizer. Yours was?
I got Moderna.
Moderna. So yeah. You're half dollied. I get it now.
Half-dollied.
Thank you for explaining that to me and probably 95% of the other listeners. I finally got it.
Yeah.
And it was funny it was explained.
Thank you. Half my jokes have to be explained just like Adam's.
So another important, we record down here in the Utah Political Underground Recording Studio, another great podcast.
Best which you should, studio in the state.
Yeah, thank you. That you should also tune into or subscribe. And it is, what's the name of it?
It's our Culture Bites podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Culture Bites podcast. And the host of that, you used to host it in the beginning, but now Ernesto's hosting it.
Yeah.
And tell us about the big news of Ernesto.
Yeah, so Ernesto Baldetas, who's my communications director at Utah Cultural Alliance, he's amazing. He just had a baby today. And
which is exciting.
He's been the host of Culture Bites for all of season two, and he does a way better job than I do.
Well, he'll always be able to remember the day that she was born, because it's the day that I took myself out of the running for the Quorum of the 12.
I'm going to tell him that. Yeah, this is baby number two.
Oh, that's exciting. Is the first one a girl or boy?
A boy.
Okay, so he's got one of each. That's amazing. So Utah live performances have been kind of open. In the very beginning, they were shut down.
Yes.
But then explain kind of how the progression has been and what people can expect after, as we start opening them up.
Yeah. So Utah has been really lucky in a lot of ways, but Utah in nearly all places was the only place you could see live performing arts and museums from pretty much the moment of reopening. So, you know, I mean, part of that has to do with we're in a red state, I guess, but we're in a state that loves and values arts and humanities. It's part of who we are. It's part of our cultural DNA. This is a story I tell all the time, so people get tired of hearing it. But the state worked with us from the minute of possibility of reopening to say, what are the guidelines that work for this industry that keep everybody safe? We were the first state with industry-specific guidelines for arts and humanities. Most states, museums could kind of open under retail guidelines, but not really, and they didn't get movie theater and indoor theater guidelines until way in late summer or way in late fall. And then, of course, some states it never opened, California, New York, et cetera. But we've been doing it, and we've been doing it with...
Safely.
Yeah, safely. There's been, you know, zero cases of audience spread. Of course, you know, when there's huge spikes, it's hard to say that's completely true, but nothing was ever
linked back,
traced back to our performances.
And for all the fun I like to, you know, poke at elected officials, and quite frankly, I think Utah did this as well as it could have been done.
We
kept the economy as close to running as we could while still taking precautions. The mask mandate did help immediately once that started. I think we did a great job, and elected officials really are to take credit for that. It's been interesting because, you know, we may have gone completely South Dakota, but I think that the Democrat elected officials, meaning the Salt Lake County Mayor, Jenny Wilson, and the Salt Lake City Mayor, Aaron Mendenhall, kind of were the yin and yang in that, and helped, I think, elected officials still get that the coronavirus was real, the COVID-19 was real, and with them accompanying, what, you know, in conjunction with the Utah legislature, the governor really kept things going. So yeah, we've had some activity in theater, but what's going to happen after April 10th?
Well, actually, what you're going to see right now versus what you see after April 10th is not going to change a lot, because that end game bill, House Bill 294, still keeps the mask mandate in place for groups of 50 and above. So you're still going to have to wear your mask when you go to a theater event, when you go to a museum.
What about social distancing, even a restaurant, in the theater?
So now that we're in moderate statewide, excuse me, Department of Health is allowing shoulder-to-shoulder seating as long as everybody's wearing a mask and there's no concessions.
So there can't be, you can't be serving any concessions if you go to a live theater event. And at intermission, or for any of my sports fans that might be listening at halftime, you can't get up from the opera and go to the lobby and buy any kind of food.
Yeah, you could outside in the lobby during intermission.
Okay.
But not bring it back into the theater.
Okay. No eating
in the theater. If you want to do concessions, then you have to do the 6-foot distancing.
Okay.
This is kind of a caveat. Utah tried the shoulder-to-shoulder experiment last summer. We were the only state that was doing shoulder-to-shoulder indoor theater for most of the summer.
But with masks.
With masks, of course. And stringent cleaning guidelines that state had in place. But when there was the fall-winter spike, we lost that. But then they allowed it to be by county executive exception. And so there were a few theaters like Tuacon and Hale Center Theater Orem that had exceptions from their county commissions to do lesser spacing. They still usually did some kind of spacing, but not necessarily 6 feet of spacing.
Has someone told people in Utah County that the coronavirus happened last year? do they know that? Do they know that down there?
I'm not sure they know that. My in-laws down there still are not vaccinated.
That's a whole other story. That's a whole other podcast topic. But they
can do shoulder-to-shoulder now without, doesn't need exception, as long as it's moderate. In low transmission counties, masks are not required.
And shoulder-to-shoulder.
And shoulder-to-shoulder.
What would be a low transmission county?
Wow, I don't have that memorized. Who's low transmission right now? Maybe Rich County.
Very small county.
I was just there last weekend.
Okay, so when do you think in the larger counties, I mean, we have some amazing live performance venues, and we have amazing and accomplished musicians and actors. And what's your prediction on when the first live performance without masks, shoulder to shoulder, in the Eccles Theater will take place?
In Eccles. I could definitely make non-Eccles
Eccles. This is we're gonna have probably a pool. There's gonna be a betting pool on this.
Pool. Yeah.
Even
Eccles
though the state
is hard
gambling.
Because it's a Salt Lake County owned facility, so it'll be up to the purview of Mayor Wilson and her staff. So I would guess it's not until it's even gonna be time after herd immunity for the state. It'll be next year.
You don't think it'll happen this year?
Mm-mm. I think we might get shoulder-to-shoulder masked in Eccles Theater sometime in the fall. But the other complication there is Equity Union and the touring Broadway shows have their own guidelines and requirements. And so even if it's allowed by Mayor Wilson, they may not allow that as the producing companies, essentially.
I can't think of another industry, maybe the restaurant industry, that was hit harder than live performance. Broadway was shuttered, nothing on Broadway. I can only imagine what's been happening with actors. And forever, I think, emblazoned in my mind of 2020 will be when Brian Stokes Mitchell of Man of La Mancha fame, ragtime fame, went out on his balcony and would sing The Impossible Dream, and people started coming and gathering around outside on that New York street. I think that will forever remain emblazoned in my mind of what this all looked like. And so it will be exciting to get live theater open again. And people,
there's nothing like that magical experience.
No, there's not. There is not. And, you know, I think people have missed it more than anything, being able to go out and see something. And we have some big shows that were going to be here in the 2020-21 season that were all pushed back.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll be able to fill the Eccles Theater again. I think Hamilton was scheduled to be here then.
Yeah, it was supposed to come this summer. If you see tickets online for Hamilton in July, those are not real tickets. They don't exist.
So
you will be scammed.
So that is a scam alert for our listeners. But they haven't announced a date yet.
No. Magic Space Entertainment, which is the Broadway Across America Utah affiliate, is doing a Music of Andrew Lloyd Webber show in Eccles in May. I'm excited to see that as well. It's actually going to star Lisa Singmiller, Representative Travis Singmiller's wife. She's a Tony Award winning singer. She's amazing. She really is. I'm excited to see that. But it will be a distance and maxed show, even though technically they could be shoulder to shoulder. But because they are a county owned facility, the county can put their own requirements there. But we might get Broadway in the fall.
How many nights is that?
It starts the 7th and goes, I don't remember off the top of my head exactly how many days, but about a week.
And for those listeners, name some shows that Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Phantom of the Opera.
Joseph.
Wow. You know, my knowledge of musical theater is so limited, so I'm going to put my foot in my mouth right now.
And then my head Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Did I say Les Mis already?
Les Mis, another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. Had we asked you about opera? I don't know if you know this, but we played your TikTok clip.
You did, my CNADA?
Yeah, exactly. We played it, and Rich McKeon was my guest, and he said, my hunch is that's not going to stick. Yeah. They're still going to say, sine die.
Yeah, not a single person said it right this session.
That's because she is a self-proclaimed opera nerd, and so she knows how to say it.
I have a degree in it.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen the certificate, so I don't know. I mean, it's like people who tell me they work undercover for the Defense Intelligence Agency. I mean, how do you check that out? You don't. It's probably HIPAA restrictions.
I'm a spy, Spencer.
HIPAA restrictions around your degree, and it was received at wasn't it from BYU?
Yeah.
So
and Queens did they, College.
Do we consider that a real degree?
Boo.
From BYU?
Boo.
All right. Enough of my BYU stuff. But so you think maybe, I don't think you actually gave us a date. You said next year, shoulder to shoulder without masks.
Spring of next year.
Spring of next year.
Yeah. Eccles Theater. Will it happen sooner in other parts of Utah? Yeah.
And I don't
It'll
even
be
think,
this summer.
I don't even think we've announced a, has the lineup for the next season been announced for Eccles, or has it just kind of all been pushed back?
The only two shows they have publicly announced right now is the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber and then a show called Rain, which is a Beatles cover.
Right.
Which is at the Maverick Center, actually.
And if you haven't seen Rain, it is a phenomenal show.
It is. It's fun.
I remember being to the last performance of Rain that was up at Kingsbury, I believe, was the last one. And we looked down from the balcony, and one of the older couples in our neighborhood was just was down there just dancing their tails off. But it's a great, great show.
If Stuart Clayson's listening, the Beatles are better than the Stones by far.
Let's not get into a fight over that. That'll end up being another whole podcast. So live musical, live theater performance will be shoulder to shoulder coming to you everywhere except for Salt Lake County, probably very soon.
Yeah.
Shortly after April 10th, probably. And well,
not without masks, but you can do shoulder to shoulder right now.
Okay.
I think it'll
outside
probably
of
be
Salt Lake County.
Yeah. Well, and in Salt Lake County, just not Salt Lake County facilities.
Oh, got it.
So you can do shoulder to shoulder right now at Hail Sandy, Maverick Center, any number of places. It's just the four theaters that Salt Lake County Arts and Culture manages.
Which are?
Bravenel Hall, Eccles Theater, Capitol Theater, Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, and about to open Taylorsville Performing Arts Center.
Okay, because I was going to say, do you not account, Crystal, because you're naming five.
Well, that
and you said four, but you said it's getting ready to open.
It has not opened yet.
Okay. Do you know any productions that will be there?
No.
They haven't announced that yet. What size theater is that?
I believe it's about a 400-seat theater.
That's pretty good size, actually. That's pretty good size. So in Eccles, that was the bet. In Eccles, spring of next year, without a mask, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to hold you. We'll hold you to that. Is there any other? And by the way, you can check out. Where can you check out things that are happening in this state of Utah?
Yeah, nowplayingutah.com. Everything to see and do, including sports and rec. So. Really, everything you can see and do in Utah.
Nowplayingutah.com.
Yep, nowplayingutah.com. And if I could spout some numbers, you mentioned the impact earlier. This industry has seen $76 million in losses to date, 25,000 jobs. There's $17.5 million in ticket rollover liabilities. So, for example, Ballet West is doing three shows between now and end of May. They are sold out to just reseating subscribers. Right now, you can't even buy single tickets to it because they have this rolling over liability. So
in lieu of people taking a refund,
yep.
they push their tickets forward to when they could open.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be
so even
probably a year before they get
full revenue.
Yeah, they get through all of the revenue they lost, and then because they didn't want to refund tickets or.
Yep.
They pushed them forward. So it's going to take a while to come out of that slump.
It is. And which is why this industry still needs great help and great investment. And the other number to spit out when you talked about
really
the
not,
graciousness of the legislature.
Yeah, it's really not just about the people that work in the industry. It's the people who use the industry to have some kind of sanity, an event yes. to go to, something to do, with your significant other or your family. There's been none of that going on.
We all missed it.
Yeah.
I cry every time I go to a live arts event. Still. I'll get there. But the legislature invested $29.75 million last year of the CARES Act money that the state received that helped keep this industry alive. A new $9 million investment so far this year from their state dollars. And it's phenomenal.
They have been
so lucky.
Here. Yeah, they have been very, very good about that. And so we really do appreciate the Utah legislature and the county. Mm-hmm. And
the county has also done great programs.
Right. So everyone, I think, has done a great job working together to try to get through this crisis in the state of Utah. So any other closing parting shots from the Utah Cultural Alliance?
I would say get out there and safely partake in the magic of this industry.
And if you've got an axe to grind, I'm just going to put this plug in. If you have an axe to grind about masks, it's not the fault of the live performance industry.
Yes, please be gracious to us. Yeah, it's still the law for us.
They're still abiding by the law. And so when someone asks you to put on a mask, you know, it's the only way to keep it open.
Is
if people will wear masks. So be gracious about that. I know there have been a lot of people that have given the governor a lot of blowback when he said, you know, be gracious and wear a mask. And if you don't want to wear a mask, it's very easy. Don't go to live theater. It's the best way, I guess, to stay sane if you don't want to wear a mask. And you'll just have to sacrifice another till spring of next year, and in the Eccles, at least. Other places the same. So this concludes another edition of Stokes and Folks. We hope you'll like us and subscribe. And we'd like to thank our producer, I have to do this for his mother's sake, Connor Sorensen, for producing this show. And we'll talk to you again next week.